Tough questions must be faced. Questions like, where was God in the Holocaust? And why is our economy unraveling? Runners in life's race need to know that these kinds of questions can be faced and have been faced. Yet, there are mysteries we cannot fathom and may never fathom. Every generation needs to learn some key lessons anew. And today, it's our turn. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues his series, God, Why Me?, as he brings a message from Job chapter 32 on words of wisdom from a young man.
At the end of the day, the only thing that matters is the honor and the glory of God's name. And that's where everything is headed, and that's where we need to understand that God has an agenda that is being worked out, and we're a part of it. And even when he does what we think he shouldn't, God is still in control. I don't think that any Christian has ever lived for any period of time without somebody saying to him, well, what about the Holocaust? Or how can God allow somebody to plant a bomb that kills innocent children and to see them taken from the rubble of a building? Where is God when all that happens? Well, you know that the book of Job was written to deal with that question at least partially. There's much more that can be said about that problem than is recorded in the book of Job, but the book of Job looks at the problem through the narrow lens of the experience of one person, namely Job himself, who was a righteous man and yet who suffered very tragically, interestingly, because of his righteousness and not because of his unrighteousness. Now, I'm assuming in this message that you know something about what the part of the book of Job that leads us finally today to chapter 32. Chapter 32, which is the story of this young man by the name of Elihu. And if you do not have in your mind some of the history of the book and some of the dialogue that has gone on before, you might want to catch up on that through cassette tapes, which are available to help us put all this together in one whole piece of cloth. But in Job chapter 32, we are introduced to a young man by the name of Elihu, who is an interesting theologian. And in order to pick up the text, I want us to understand now that Job and his three friends have basically exhausted themselves, having said everything that they knew about the problem. Job being condemned by his friends because they said, Job, you are being punished. You see, they had a view of God that says that if anybody endures tragedy, it is because he's being punished, and Job was being punished, and so they had to say that the reason was because you're a sinner, Job. And this young man has been listening into this conversation, and he can't take it anymore, and he's going to say something. And he says many profound things. Chapter 32 of the book of Job is his introduction to his message. You know, most messages have an introduction, and he goes on for a whole chapter before he gets down to the nitty-gritty. Three things about the mood that he has as he speaks to Job. First of all, he is very angry. Over and over again, it says that Elihu's anger burned within him. Notice the last part of verse 2. His anger burned against Job because he justified himself before God. If we had time to read it, and remember, we're doing only a survey of the book of Job, we discover that Job did make some very self-righteous statements. In fact, Elihu is going to quote some of them back to Job. You know, when you're attacked, you and I have a tendency always to respond and to try to justify ourselves. Has anybody, incidentally, ever accused you of being defensive? That's one of the most difficult things that you can ever be accused of, because the best way to respond is to say nothing. Because the moment you speak, somebody says, see, notice, you are proving exactly what I've said about you. So if you're ever accused of being defensive, say nothing. But here's what happened to Job. As he was being criticized, he began to go through his life and think of all the righteous things that he did, and in his own mind, he became more righteous and more righteous all the time, and he began to sin because he claimed so much righteousness. And young Elihu points that out. Not only that, but this young man is angry at his three friends. It says in verse 3, and his anger burned against his three friends because they had found no answer, and yet they had condemned Job. He's saying, Job, you're wrong because you're self-righteous, and yet these three friends are wrong because they are making unjust accusations about you, Job, because you are not as bad as they say that you are. They're just trying to fit you into their theology. And you'll notice, as we shall see, Elihu is going to take a middle path here and shed a little bit of interesting light on Job's predicament. So first of all, he's angry. He is also very hesitant to speak. In verses 6 and 7, it says, Elihu said, I am young in years and you are old. Therefore, I was shy and afraid to tell you what I think. I thought age should speak and increased years should teach wisdom. But it is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. And he goes on to say, just because you're old, that doesn't mean that you are wise. I want to say this to the young people that are here. If you are a young person, and I consider that to be anything under the age of 25, actually anything under the age of 65 seems younger and younger to me. But you know, young people have a great sense of justice, and they spot hypocrisy. And you've got a hero in this young man who could see more than his elders could. So he is hesitant, but he's just filled with what he has to say, and he is just constrained. He's forced to say it. He reminds me of a garden hose when you try to put your thumb on the end of it, and finally you just get tired and say, I can't take it anymore, and you just let all the water come out. It says in 32 verse 18, I am full of words. The spirit within me constrains me. Behold, my belly is like unvented wine, like new wineskins. It is about to burst. Let me speak that I may get relief. I've got to say what I have to say. Well, that's the introduction. And now what is it that he is going to say that is going to be very profound, even though it will be incomplete? Because remember, we're dealing with the Old Testament. He did not have the benefit of the New Testament revelation. First of all, he's going to say, Job, I want you to understand one thing. You have been accusing God of various things, but God is sovereign. God is sovereign. We pick up the text in 33 verse 8, surely you have spoken in my hearing. And then he quotes the words of Job for about three verses. You have said, I am pure without transgression. I am innocent and there is no guilt in me. Behold, God invents pretexts against me. He counts me as his enemy. He puts my feet in the stocks. He watches all my paths. He says, now, Job, you've said that. You've said that you are innocent. Behold, let me tell you, you are not right in this, for God is greater than man. Why do you complain against him that he does not give account of all of his doings? And so Elihu says, first of all, God is greater than you are, and he doesn't reveal to you what he's doing. Don't get angry just because you can't read his diary, because you can't read the fine print of his plan. There's no use getting upset with that, because God can do as he wishes. In fact, do you know what Elihu says? He says in American terminology, God can, if he will, plead the Fifth Amendment. Notice what he says in chapter 34, verse 29. When he keeps quiet, who then can condemn? And when he hides his face, who then can behold him? That is in regard to both a nation and a man. You know, if God wants to talk, he's going to talk. If he wants to remain silent, he can remain silent. But God is greater than man, and God is different from man. He really is. You know, we think to ourselves that God is a being just like us, except he's raised to a higher power. He is greater in strength, but apart from that, he feels the same way. He thinks the same way. And the answer is no, God is greater than man, and he is wholly other from man. And that's why the text says, my ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts, says the Lord. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great. And that's the distance between my thoughts and your thoughts. You know, that in itself would make an entire sermon sometime. Have you ever thought of the fact that not all of the Ten Commandments apply to God? God is so different from us. For example, he gives us a commandment that says, thou shalt not steal. That commandment applies to you and to me, but it does not apply to God. God can't steal. He owns everything, so the commandment has no application to him. Whatever he takes, he owns, and therefore theft is impossible for God, but it is certainly possible for you and for me. God says in the book of Proverbs, when you see somebody being dragged off to jail unjustly, if you don't intervene, you become a partner in his sin, in the sin that is being committed. And, you know, that applies to you and me. It certainly doesn't apply to God, because God sees all of this injustice, and he doesn't necessarily intervene. He will eventually, but not at the moment that it's happening. God is different from us. He is greater than us. No wonder Solomon said at the dedication of the temple, "Behold, the heaven of the heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have built." God is great. God is great. Now, you know what the implication is, don't you? You're reading the fine print. What Elihu is saying is, did you know that God is not accountable to you, Job? You know, as human beings, we fear not being accountable. If I were a pastor and I were not accountable to the church board, you might worry about me. And we always say in human relationships, accountability is so very important, and so it is. But it's scary to think of the fact that God is not accountable to anybody. God doesn't have to check with a board. He doesn't have to go through the process of committees. I heard the other day that Winston Churchill was taken to a football game in America, or at least he saw one, and said, "It's just like rugby," he said. "The only thing I can't figure out is why all those committee meetings?" Well, the fact is that God is able to run his universe without all those committee meetings. Is that frightening? Well, the second thing that I want to say that Elihu says about God is sovereign. God is trustworthy. He's trustworthy. Chapter 34, verse 10 says these words, "Therefore listen to me, you men of understanding. Far be it from God to do wickedness and from the Almighty to do wrong, for he pays a man according to his work and makes him find it according to his way. Surely God will not act wickedly, the Almighty will not pervert justice."
Maybe it's been a while since you have read the book of Job. I really do encourage you to read the book. And of course, as we begin to think about the future messages in this series, we will be talking about how God came to Job. And God's coming is very different than we would have thought. But that's another story that awaits another day. Meanwhile, as you read through the book, read carefully what this young man, Elihu, has to say. He seems to be endued with a special amount of wisdom and understanding of God's sovereignty and his ways in the world. And so, in context, let us continue our study in the book of Job, reminding ourselves that ultimately our relationship with God is more important than anything else.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. You've just heard Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part one of Words of Wisdom from a Young Man. Another message in his series, God, Why Me? The Story of the Life of Job. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. This 8-part series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. When you call, ask about God, Why Me? Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for some more words of wisdom from Elihu on our next Running to Win.